Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. All the good things in the earth testify to mankind that there is a good God that loves us and cares for us, even those that have no regard for the things of the true and living God. God's greatest gift was sending Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world, so that anyone and everyone that receives this gift might have eternal life in His presence. Please open your Bible to Psalm 104, verse 8, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this chapter.
Today, verse 8, go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which you have founded for them. So God here, hear this, God here is commanding the waters to go to the levels that He's decreed, to the place that He's designed for them. Beloved, you and I are swimming in an ocean of God's providence and sovereignty every single day. Then look at verse 9. You have set a bound that they, that is the waters, may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. So God said, I will not destroy the earth again with water. Notice He sets a bounds for the waters, for the oceans. Isn't it amazing? Think of it. Jeremiah 5:22 says, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over? Why? Because God says to every ocean, every sea, every body of water, He commands water, you can only go this far. Stop. Now, the scientists come up with all of these reasons why, and they speak with big, big, long words of why it's happening, and I have no doubt that there may be some scientific reason why, but the bottom line is because God says it. He says to the ocean, don't go any further. And then when He gives the decree to go a little further, tsunami, something else like this, there's always heavenly reasons for disturbances in creation. Always. They're never detached in the Bible, and they should not be detached today. Except for the flood in the days of Noah, God has set a bound for the waters that they will not cover the earth again. The world will be destroyed by fire, not by a flood. So, interestingly, in the Catholic News Agency, there's an article I'm going to read to you. March 2nd, 2021. Pope Francis said in a new book released on Tuesday that the world could face a catastrophe like the Great Flood if human beings fail to address climate change. The Pope made the remark in a new book-length interview with the Italian priest Marco Pozza, published on March 2nd, in Of Vices and Virtues, published in Italian by Rizzoli. The two men discussed the account of the Great Flood in the book of Genesis. And according to an excerpt from the book, in the Italian newspaper, the Pope said, quote, a great flood, perhaps due to a rise in temperature and the melting of glaciers. That is what will happen if we continue on the same path. Pope Francis, read your Bible. That's not what the Bible says. And if he's got it wrong there, he and his predecessors have got it wrong in a lot of places. Verse 10. He sends the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. Notice God's commanding the springs, the rivers, the oceans. He is in command of all of this. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, the Lord says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And he does everything for a purpose. You know that, right? God doesn't experiment with anything. Let me try this out. Let me see if this works. And he doesn't have a committee to consult him. We just read. He said to Job and his three friends and Elihu, I don't recall you guys being around when I created the earth. And how many times, you probably never do it, how many times do you try to order God, or I try to order God, or give him advice, wisdom, how things should go in my life? Notice, so the water, they give drink to every beast of the field. And those waters somehow find their way through the water system that we have. How many times have you drunk water today? And God allows the water not only to feed the beasts, but to feed you and I. And the wild asses or the donkeys quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation or their nests, and I love this, which sing among the branches. Isn't it beautiful? Today, it seemed like you could hear more birds singing, wasn't it? That the birds and other animals are sustained by the intricate design of the Lord is emphasized in the New Testament. Why? To inspire our faith to look for God for our daily provision. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 6:26, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? It was John Wesley who said that the music of birds was the first song of thanksgiving which was offered from the earth, all of creation praising his name. Verse 13, he waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle or livestock, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Notice God waters the hills from his chamber. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes grass to grow for the cattle, herbs for the service of man, that he may bring forth fruit out of the earth. It reminds you of Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God provides for this planet. All the natural processes, including the water cycle and food production, are sustained and directed by the providence of God. It's all of him. Everything that you and I ate today, drank today, the oxygen that we breathe, every single thing was a gift from God. Everything. And in verse 15, it talks about wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil that makes their face to shine, bread that strengthens man's heart. The word for wine in Hebrew is yayin, or in Greek it's oinos. It can indicate any form of the juice of the grape that might be made into a beverage. Wine, olive oil, bread. They were three of the main staples of Israel. In fact, the promised land provided those things in abundance. In Deuteronomy 8:8-9, speaking of the promised land, it is a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt not eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. I want us to know, beloved, that God does not simply meet our creature needs, our physical creature needs. He also created them for our joy. How many of you know that God gives us things to enjoy? God gives us things to enjoy, to acknowledge Him as the one who provided them for us. Look at this. He gives us oil to make our faces to shine. He just doesn't sustain our bodies. He gives us bread to strengthen our hearts. I remember going to one of my doctor's appointments, and my doctor was telling me that having Italian heritage, and because my father died of a heart attack at the age of 49, that it probably would not be good for my heart to eat too much bread. I said, "Doc, with all due respect, I don't agree with you. Because my Bible says bread strengthens man's heart. And so I'm going to eat a lot of Italian bread before I go to heaven. And He's going to strengthen my heart." But notice He gives us these things to enjoy. Now, don't interpret this, that He gives wine to make our heart glad, as a reason for you to leave here tonight to go to the nearest pub and tie one on. But let me also speak to you Pharisees out there. You know what this wine was? It was wine. It wasn't grape juice. When Jesus performed the first miracle, He turned water into grape juice? He turned water into wine. And if you have ever gone to a Jewish wedding, my stepfather was Jewish. They didn't serve grape juice when they celebrated. Now, neither did they get drunk. The Bible condemns drunkenness, but it doesn't condemn this wine. He says it's to make your heart glad. All of the good things of the earth testify to men that there is a good God who loves us and cares for us. Just think of, out of this 11.5 million pounds of food every day, every minute that God provides, how many people are eating that food that have no regard for the living God at all? Don't want to have anything to do with Him. You know, you and I as believers, we're not the only ones that had food today. And the Bible says it's the goodness of God that is intended to lead people to repentance. If this planet only realized how good our God is. I think of the time when Paul and Barnabas went to the cities of Lystra and Derbe, and they were witnessing to these people. And they said in Acts 14, verses 15 through 17, "Sirs, why do you these things?" They wanted to make gods out of Barnabas and Paul. "We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." Look it. "Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, and that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Italians got this down. They may not have good theology, but boy, you sit down with some Italians and you eat, you should just see our Sunday dinners. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. Dipping the bread in the oil, in the oil, and just drinking the San Pellegrino water, Oh, but we enjoy it. We don't feel the least bit guilty. Parents, don't you love it when your children appreciate what you give them? Don't you feel a little bit hurt when you prepare them a meal and they go, "Mom, I don't like that"? There's something in this psalm that has just awakened afresh of how much I need and I want to be thankful to my God for all that He does every single second of every single day. And it occurred to me that we tend to take for granted so many commonplace things and so many quote-unquote scientific developments that God has ordained to make our lives fulfilling. Thankfulness means a lot to God. You know that? It means a lot to God. He does provide for us, doesn't He? And it doesn't have to be much. The Bible says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox where there's hatred. It's just learning to appreciate the little things that we have. Having little in the Lord is much, isn't it? When the vertical is right, the horizontal is filled with appreciation and thanksgiving and awe. The older that you get, you realize more and more how awesome our God is. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, verse 16. The cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, that's the pine trees, are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats or the ibex. You see them when you go there to Israel. And the rocks for the conies or the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. The sun knows when to set. Now, I'm sure that there's a scientific law for this, but it's because God does it. God does it. On the fourth day, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Now, many of you know this, that ancient Israel based and still bases its calendar on the cycles of the moon. And they mark the beginning of each month at the new moon, which occurs every 29 and a half days. That results in a 354-day annual calendar, 11 days shorter than the solar calendar. And that's why the months in Israel's calendar does not align with the Gregorian or modern calendar. God appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows his going down. You make, or you bring, or you send darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the field do creep forth or prowl about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. Now, that's amazing. You ever seen a lion prey? Yet God feeds them. Amazing. Do you guys like watching National Geographic? National Geographic Wild? The big cats? That's just, it's so exciting. But anyways, how awesome God is. How true His word is. It is at night that all the beasts of the forest do creep forth, and the and the jungle comes alive with action. The Bible says the young lions roar after their prey. How they stalk the night forest seeking for food, just like the Bible says. But once again, notice what appears to be purely natural, lions seeking their prey, is actually an act of God. God even commands the animal kingdom. Every kingdom, God commands. Amen. The sun arises. They, that is the lions, gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. They return to their dens and they go to sleep. And then in verse 23, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the Industrial Revolution. Until the evening. God has even ordained a wonderful ordered rhythm. O Lord, verse 24, how manifold or countless are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. The works of our Lord are just countless. Just countless. And he made them all in wisdom. God's word says that his creation is a display of his existence and greatness. In Psalm 8 and in Psalm 19, the heavens preach to mankind every single day. High above all other kings and kingdoms, God's throne is in the heavens, and the earth is just but one of a vast array of creations. Just think of all of the solar systems. Just think of that. God created them. You read about them throughout the scriptures. The constellations. Fascinating. A God so vast, speaking this universe into existence. And yet, the tiniest, tiniest creature or molecule. How awesome is our God? You know, when I read Psalms like this, it kind of like awakens me to notice more than I unfortunately may overlook. It's that time of the year now. Little flowers are starting to come up again, right? Or I'll be walking out of the house and you'll start to see the little ant colonies, or you'll see, and I'm thinking, wow. Now my neighbors must think that I need help, and I do. Because I'll just see these things and I'll just get down there and go, look, that is just amazing. That is awesome. And the grandkids just go, Papa, what are you doing? Look at that ant colony. Yeah? Look at that. Look at what God has brought. And everything, creation becomes a teaching point, right? Everything. You can just preach the gospel by sharing about creation. The wonders of creation. The vast array of living creatures in the sky, in the sea, and on land. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.